This is Lincoln returning with the Bloomington Pantograph, dated December 24th, 2024. 50 years ago, December 24th, 1974, sale of 9,500 square feet of land for a new Grand Cafe restaurant was officially authorized by the Bloomington City Council last night. The land at the southeast corner of Locust and Main Streets was sold for $14,082 to Pong Ping Chu and Lok Fai Chu. The cafe has been in Bloomington for 46 years. It was in the 100 block of West Front Street, but moved to 42426 North Main Street when urban renewal raised its building to make way for the new McLean County Law Enforcement Center. 25 years ago, on December 24, 1999, five Habitat for Humanity families in Bloomington will each get a $5,000 grant as a down payment on the home each family will build as part of the Habitat program in 2000. This is the fourth year that the Federal Home Bank of Chicago has selected Habitat for Humanity of McLean County as part of its affordable housing programs in Illinois and Wisconsin. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew, like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore. Bloomington residents celebrate the holidays with inflatable Santas. This is from Matthias Janik, Bloomington. Neighbors down a Bloomington street are feeling the Christmas spirit a little extra this year with the help of a handful of Santas. We normally put up basic lights, and actually our neighbors across the street usually put up a bunch of inflatables and decorations that my kids love to watch out the window every year, said Emily Erstein. This is just another fun way to bring that to our other kids in the neighborhood. Residents along Old Jamestown Road added some extra Yuletide joy to the neighborhood by planting an array of giant inflatable Santa decorations along their yards. Erstein, who lives on Old Jamestown Road, said the idea came about during Thanksgiving when she, her husband, and kids visited family up in Madison, Wisconsin, and they came across a plethora of inflatable Santas across yards down Monroe Street. And there's a picture of Old Jamestown Road and all the extra Santas. She shared the idea in a group text message, and soon her neighbors started to buy the 12-foot inflatables and set them up, lining the street with the jolly red elf. We just got a few people on board, and it was one neighbor after the next that started to stop by and ask what was going on, said Emily's husband, Matt Erstein. So we kept sharing it, and they all wanted to be on board. It has been a team effort, with neighbors helping each other fix rips or tears in the inflatables, sharing winter information like wind speed each day to decide if their Santas should be up or not, and properly staking them into the ground so there aren't any Santas that decide to fly away. One neighbor, Carrie Curie, said she usually does not like to put up inflatables during the holidays, but it did not take too much convincing for her to get on board with the idea this year, because it is all in the name of joy. I think the coolest thing that Emily's done with this is create this sense of community, because we've all had so much fun, Curie said. I know there's a guy over in the next street that as soon as his family finishes dinner, they have to go for a walk every night to see all the inflatables and decorations. Eric Johnson, who lives just across the street from the Ersteins with his wife Michelle, said they normally have inflatables up for the holidays, including Halloween, and thought this was a great idea to get the whole community involved and interacting with each other. Johnson said he and others have been able to get to know each other even more just by helping each other out and messaging through the neighborhood group chat. It's been fun to chat with a group of good people and have a common interest over the holidays, Johnson said. That's what the holiday season is all about, being with your community and your neighbors, and this was our way, and we had some fun doing it. And there's a picture again of residents along Old Jamestown Road having added some extra Yuletide joy to the neighborhood by planting an array of giant inflatable Santa decorations along their yards. Emily Erstein said she and others agree that this time of year is about spending time with family and spreading joy as much as you can, but now they can do that on a wider scale with this new group they have all created together. We talked about how we're going to have a Christmas in July block party and put the Santas up again, she said. This has just been fun, and it really brought our little street together. And now to the obituaries. Franklin Hank Janes, age 81, passed away on December 19th, 2024. He was born on March 13th, 1943, to William and Barbara Hart Janes. He married Mary Lou Lanzer on February 15th, 1964. Together, they had three children, Bill, Jerry, Janes, and Sue Dan Freed, both of Lexington, and Patty Steve Maniscalco of Bloomington. He is also survived by four grandchildren, Sidney Chuck Wright of California, Gabby Fried of New York, Tony Maniscalco of Kentucky, and Sophie Maniscalco of Bloomington. Additionally, he leaves behind his sister, Pam Allen Lanter of Maconda, Illinois, and the greatest caregiver of all, Teresa Teak of Bloomington. He was preceded in death by his parents and his best buddy, Tom Leak. Arrangements are being handled by Calvert and Johnson of Lexington. Cremation rites have been accorded with a private family ceremony. A celebration of life will be held at a later date in January. Online memories and condolences may be sent to his family at www.calvertmemorial.com. Rita Dolores Leak, 82, formerly of Lexington, passed away on Saturday, December 21st, 2024, at Accolade Health Care Center in Pontiac. Cremation has been accorded, and a graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, December 27th, 2024, at Lexington Township Cemetery, Lexington. Memorials may be given to The Fort, 318 West Main Street, Lexington, Illinois, 61753. Calvert and Johnson Memorial Home in Lexington is in charge of arrangements. Rita was born in Bloomington, Illinois on January 13, 1942, a daughter to Andrew Patrick and Mary Estelle Downs Leak. Surviving are her two sisters-in-law, Jean Leak of Lexington and Ellen Leak of Elizabeth, Illinois, and several nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents and her four brothers, Charles Patrick Leak, James Carl Leak, Andrew Leon Leak, and William Earl Leak. The family would like to express our appreciation to her caregivers at Accolade. They loved her, and she loved them. We will not forget the kindness and love she was shown over the last 4 years. Online memories and condolences may be sent to her family at www.calvertmemorial.com. Louise M. Nicholas, 83, departed this life on Thursday, December 19, 2024, at Carl Health Broman Medical Center in Normal, Illinois. She was born on August 25, 1941, in Sykeston, Missouri, the daughter of Reverend Jesse Hubert Johnson and Beatrice Sloan Johnson. Louise married Earl Nicholas on August 7, 1965, in Bloomington, Illinois. Earl preceded her in death on December 29, 2006. She was also preceded in death by her parents. She leaves to cherish her precious memory her sons, Eugene, Pamela, Nicholas, Fairburn, Georgia, and Gary Nicholas, Urbana, Illinois. Her brother, Harry, Catherine, Johnson, Normal, Illinois, and a host of nieces, nephews, and friends. The visitation and service will be held at East Lawn Funeral Home, 1102 Airport Road, Bloomington, Illinois. Visitation from 10 to 11 a.m., and the service at 11 a.m. on Thursday, December 26, 2024. Entombment will be in East Lawn Memorial Gardens Chapel of Memories Mausoleum in Bloomington, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Online condolences may be shared with Louise's family at eastlawnmemorial.com. Funerals pending for December 24th. Imke Elaine, 65, Rural Fairbury died Sunday, December 22, 2024, Calvert and Johnson Memorial Home, Henry. Slowing the Impulse by Aaron L. Issa from NerdWallet, December 20th, 2024. Long gone are the days where impulse buying meant grabbing an unplanned candy bar or magazine in the checkout line. Now, social media makes it quick and easy for us to purchase just about anything with a click of a button, whether or not it's in the budget. And for some Americans, it's hurting them financially. According to a new NerdWallet survey conducted online by the Harris Poll, more than 1 in 5 Americans, 22%, have made impulse purchases that have significantly impacted their finances in the past 12 months. Here are 3 strategies to combat the urge to shop hastily. First, save first, spend after. About 1 in 6 Americans, 16%, say they spend more on impulse purchases than they put into their retirement accounts most months in the past 12 months, according to the survey. A good way to avoid this is automating savings first and then spending what's left over. Let's say your company offers a 401k. If you set up automatic contributions of 10%, or whatever amount will help you reach your retirement savings goal, and then pay your bills, you can freely spend what's remaining after. Similarly, you can set up automatic contributions to an IRA or savings account that transfers within a day or two of payday to make sure your goals are covered before you start buying non-necessities. Next, unfollow and unsubscribe. Out of sight, out of mind. When you're initially motivated to do something, like save money and shop less, it's easy to imagine that you can conjure up your willpower every time your favorite store emails you a coupon or that relatable influencer posts a new must-have, link in bio, purchase. But once that motivation wanes, chances are it will be harder to say no. Instead, set guardrails for the person you are, not the person you aspire to be, and unfollow and unsubscribe from accounts and emails that lead you to spend impulsively. This isn't a perfect solution. Most people on social media will be exposed to plenty of tempting ads throughout the day, but by getting rid of the accounts that are known triggers, you can at least avoid some impulsive shopping. Next, wish list and wait. Today, there is very little friction between deciding you want something and being able to acquire it. One-click ordering and fast free shipping mean you can have the thing you want in days, if not hours, without ever leaving your home. But what if you put some time between wanting something and buying it to see if the appeal wears off? One solution is a wish list with a waiting period. That means each time you see something you want that isn't a necessity, you put it on a list with the date and the reason you want it. Then after a set period of time, 48 hours, 2 weeks, whatever works for you, you revisit it and see if it's still something you want. Oftentimes, when you put time between the desire and the acquisition, you'll find it's no longer a priority for you. And if it still is, you can buy it if it's within your means to do so. And now from the opinion page, another view from the Lincoln Journal Star, Christmas in the words of Witty Wise. We may think of the presents and the parties first. They certainly represent the generosity and joy of the Christmas season. But the true miracle of the holiday season is the renewal of kindness, love, and charity for all. We can set aside our differences and bask in the warmth of family and community. Collected here from a variety of sources are thoughts both serious and humorous about this special season. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Luke 2:11. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he, she handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Maya Angelou, American memoirist and poet. Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind. To cherish peace and goodwill, to be plenteous in mercy, is to have the real spirit of Christmas, said Calvin Coolidge, 30th President of the United States. Santa Claus has the right idea. Visit people once a year, said Victor Borge, Danish-American actor and comedian. My idea of Christmas, whether old-fashioned or modern, is very simple: loving others. Come to think of it, why do we have to wait for Christmas to do that? Said Bob Hope, American comedian. Once again, we come to the holiday season, a deeply religious time that each of us observes in his own way by going to the mall of his choice, said Dave Barry, American author. Christmas is a necessity. There has to be at least one day of the year to remind us that we're here for something else besides ourselves, said Eric Severide, American author and journalist. Christmas is a baby shower that went totally overboard, Andy Borowitz, American writer and comedian. A good conscience is a continual Christmas, said Benjamin Franklin. What I don't like about office Christmas parties is looking for a job the next day, Phyllis Diller. God never gives someone a gift they are not capable of receiving. If he gives us the gift of Christmas, it is because we all have the ability to understand and receive it. Pope Francis. Your children need your presence more than your presence. Jesse Jackson. One of the most glorious messes in the world is the mess created in the living room on Christmas Day. Don't clean it up too quickly. Andy Rooney. Christmas is built upon a beautiful and intentional paradox that the birth of the homeless should be celebrated in every home. G.K. Chesterton. Adults can take a simple holiday for children and screw it up. What began as a presentation of simple gifts to delight and surprise children around the Christmas tree has culminated in a woman unwrapping 6 shrimp forks from her dog, who drew her name. Irma Bombeck, American humorist. And now from Richard Kite. How an unexpected gift reminds us of what matters. Is anything more gratifying than an unexpected gift from a stranger? The answer is yes, but we'll get to that. Several days ago, a friend was shopping at a local dollar store, buying small items to place in gift boxes for children. Her church had given her a debit card with a $150 allowance, and she went through the aisles, placing dozens of toys and school supplies in her cart, keeping a running amount in her head. When she got to the checkout, she told the clerk to stop when the total got close to her spending limit. The clerk, a big, rough-looking man, started scanning the items. "You sure have a lot of stuff here," he said. My friend explained what she was doing, that everything would go to children who do not get any other presents for Christmas. He smiled and kept scanning. When the register total came to just shy of $150, he paused. "What about those?" He pointed to the handful of things left in the cart. "That's okay," my friend said. "They can go back on the shelf." "I'll pay for them," he said. My friend objected at first, but the clerk was insistent. "I was one of those kids," he said. "My dad never got us presents for Christmas, and I don't have any kids of my own." He scanned the rest of the items, then reached into his pocket for a crumpled wad of bills to pay the balance. Then he put everything into the bags and her cart. "God bless you," he said with a smile. "Every gift requires two freedoms," author Peter Kreeft wrote. the givers and the receivers. We must be careful to respect the privilege of giving, for it is in giving that we feel our humanity most deeply. As technologies make life more automated, our interaction with strangers is declining. That might seem good to some, but the overall effect is to increase anxiety by depriving us of daily exercise and social skills, something necessary for a healthy democracy. It also removes opportunities to give and to receive. One of the great misfortunes of a prosperous society is that giving and receiving become transactional rather than relational. A class of people deliver goods and services, and a class of people receive them. One group funds the local shelter and the soup kitchen, and another group goes there to get housed and nourishment. One is the host, the other the guest. Many less prosperous societies still follow the ancient practice of bringing a stranger into one's home for shelter and meals together. The guest and host get to know each other. It is not easy to say who benefits most, because both provide something to each other, the need to receive and the need to give. This practice of relational giving and receiving is retained in the gift exchanges among family and friends during the holidays. It is a chance to remind one another of our interdependence. Yet for those who have no one close with whom to celebrate, this time of year can be especially sad and lonely. Not just because they receive no gifts, but because they have nobody to whom to give. Their loneliness is a symptom of disconnection at a time of year when relationships with family, friends, and neighbors are lifted up and celebrated everywhere one turns. It doesn't have to be that way. Every community is filled with people who need something. Churches have giving trees. Schools and nursing homes need volunteers. And just about everybody has a neighbor who could use a small box of cookies and a smile. Every year I rewatch It's a Wonderful Life. It just might be the best movie ever made. Watching it reminds us that the greatest contribution a person can make in life is to lovingly tend to the relationships where you are. A pivotal moment in the movie comes shortly after George Bailey pulls Clarence out of an icy river. As they are drying off, Clarence explains he is an angel sent to save him. George is understandably skeptical. "Save me," he responds. Clarence explains, "I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me, and that's how I saved you." The gift Clarence gave to George was an opportunity to be useful when he thought the world would be better off without him. Like many of us, George overvalued the worth of his contributions and undervalued the worth of his presence. Even those who have great needs can be raised up by an opportunity to give. It is through the mutuality of both giving and receiving that we experience the grace that shines on every act of shared kindness. Flick fact. Dreaming of a white Christmas? How many have there actually been in Bloomington Normal? Question. How many white Christmases have there actually been in Bloomington Normal since 2000? Answer, just three. The most recent was in 2017, when 3 inches of snow fell to the ground on Christmas Eve. Before that, there was an inch in 2011. This has been Lincoln with the Bloomington Pantograph for Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. I look forward to reading with you again soon.